Appreciate Brother Dan filling in for the teams for me when I was gone. I got good feedback from that lesson. Brother Dan's always got something for him, so they got a good lesson. So I'm going to do 1 Samuel chapter 9, and Brother Dan's going to do 1 Samuel chapter 10. Whenever that maybe next month might be, we'll see with between that and when Pastor takes off. But Dan's up next. So. Not today. So let's pray and then we'll jump right in. Father, I thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for your word, Lord. I just pray for this time, Lord. Lord, we just be attentive to what it said, Lord. We thank you for, Lord, just choosing men, Lord. Lord, thank you for even choosing me, Lord, just to preach this message. And Lord, thank you for all these kids, Lord, and just these adults, Lord, and choosing every single one of them, Lord, and just saving them out of a place called hell. Lord, thank you for this time, Lord. May we learn and may we benefit from it. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Samuel chapter 9, and I'm in the book of Acts. Not even close. All right, good thing at least I had a bookmark. So you know some of the backstory here. Eli, his sons, Ark of the Covenant. Ark's taken, it comes back. Samuel has the great revival there in chapter number 7. And chapter number 8, Israel wants a king. They don't have this thing that's against Samuel and his sons, but then the Lord tells him, no, they've rejected me. So now it comes down to 1 Samuel chapter 9, and Saul is going to be chosen. This is where Saul finally comes into play. And we'll just read through that. I'll kind of take it through verse by verse a little bit, and then just give you some thoughts at the end. And I pray it's a blessing to you. Verse number 1, and we'll start. Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Becherath, the son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. So God chooses this king from a mighty man of power. So Saul's dad was undoubtedly, he was a somebody in this around. Everybody knew around who Saul's parents were, and they knew of his family. So when it comes that God's going to choose this man, it's going to be a little easier on some people like, oh, I know why this guy is a somebody. And the money, they had the stature. It was a mighty family. It was a mighty man of power. Verse number 2, and he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man, a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. So, God chooses a man, I believe, this is what I believe, it's Mike Nemeth, somebody who also is going to look the part in this thing. Saul was a big guy. He was tall. He was not small. He looked good. He was choice. He was a big guy. He was the tallest person in all of Israel. I mean, that's pretty notable. Yeah. I remember the one time when I was thinking of this, I was kind of meditating on it and the goodness. It says he was from his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. I mean, we went to New York City in 1986 and we went to go see the Statue of Liberty. And I remember we was waiting to get on the ferry to go over there to the Statue of Liberty. And there was these one guys, there's these three black guys, and two of them, they got these bags open like this with all this nets on them, and they're selling rings and jewelry and all these watches and stuff that was probably stolen. And there's one guy that's right behind him, and he's a head and shoulders tall above everybody. And he's just looking out over the crowd like this. And he went like this, he goes, cop, and the guy pulls this string, and they're gone. He was goodlier. I mean, he wasn't a good guy, but he was goodlier than all the rest of them. You know what I mean? He was taller than everybody else, and he could just see all the way down there. I mean, he was taller than everyone. But I've never forgot that. I think I was 10 years old. Just never forgot it. You know what I mean? Just looked up that guy going, that guy's huge. You know what I mean? Like a Laker or something, you know, a Portland Trailblazer. I mean, I seen a Portland Trailblazer in a bank one time in Lake Oswego. I go, oh, there's a Portland Trail. I mean, you just know instantly. You're like, hey, how's it going? You know, you're looking way up to him, you know. But he was tall. And the asses, and verse number 3, and the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost, and Kish said to Saul his son, take now one of thy servants with thee, and arise, and go seek the asses. And he passed through the mount Ephraim, and passed through the land of Shalisha, but they found them not. Then they passed through the land of Shalim, and there they were not. And he passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they found them not. You know, I see here is Saul's obedience to his father. Then say he complained about it. Kids. Then say he complained about that when his parents, or his dad told him to go do something. I see he's got some dedication. It says, and he passed through the Ephraim. Well, they're not in Ephraim. I guess we'll just stop here. Yeah. Oh, they're not over in Shalisha. Oh, I guess we'll stop here. No, he kept going. All the way down to Shalim and then over to the land of the Benjamites. He kept going. He was persistent in doing what he was told to do. He just didn't stop right there. In verse number 5, and when they were come to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant that was with him, come and let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thought for us. You know what? He cared about what his dad thought. His dad thought. Yeah. He was concerned. Yeah. He just said, never mind my dad. He said, you know what? My dad's probably worrying about us. Probably take care about this thing. Verse number 6. And he said to him, behold, now there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. And all that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither. Peradventure he can show us our way that we should go. You will notice this is the servant's idea, not Saul's. I found that interesting. I mean, Samuel is known by this servant, and he's known by a man of God. He's honorable. Honorable, not prideful. There's a difference. There's a difference. I used to think I take pride in my work, but it's not pride. I take honor in it, in doing it the right way. It's not I'm prideful about it. Look what I did. It's just like, no, we're going to do it the right way. It's an honorable thing. And I like how this servant, you know, this servant here, I mean, they've already gone. Saul's like, you know what? We got to get back to my house, you know, lest my dad's, you know, start sending people out worrying about us. And he says, you know what? Why don't we go to the man of God and see what his idea is? That's a good idea. Why don't we go to the man of God? See what he's got to say. I like this servant, his confidence. And his faith. Then said Saul to his servant, but behold, if we go, what shall we bring to man of God? For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there is not a present to bring to man of God. What have we? And the servant answered Saul again, said, behold, I have here at my hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver. That will I give to the man of God to tell us our way. You know, Saul understood giving. Giving is a principle.
Yes.
You should give. What do we got? We're not going to go over this man of God empty-handed. I like this though too. This servant was willing to give what he had for the others that had more.
True.
You think about that?
Yeah.
I mean, this is his money. He earned this money by Saul's dad. Saul's dad paying him, I imagine. And he says, you know what, I'm willing to give up my money so your dad can have what's his. I said, it's a good principle. Wasn't selfish servant, I'll tell you that. Verse number 9 is pretty self-explanatory. Before in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, come and let us go to the seer. For he that is now called a prophet was before called a seer. Then said Saul to his servant, well said, Come, let us go. So they went into the city where the man of God was. I think that's kind of funny. He says, you know what? I got some money. He said, you know, I know you ain't got any bread, but I got some money. We'll go see the man of God and I'll give that to him. And he goes, man, that's a good idea. Well said. I mean, that's what I said. Well said. I don't know that. I think that's funny. I don't know why. Then that's a good say. You said that right. I like that idea. Well said. Come, let us go. So they went into the city where the man of God was. And as they went up to the hill to the city, they found young maidens going out to draw water and said unto them, is the seer here? And they answered them and said, he is. Behold, he is before you. Make haste now, for he came today to the city, for there is a sacrifice of the people today in the high place. And as soon as ye come into the city, ye shall straightway find him before he go up to the high place to eat, for the people will not eat until he come, because he doth bless the sacrifice, and afterwards they eat that be bidden. Now therefore, get you up, for about this time ye shall find him. Now I found that the man of God, they found the man of God by asking around. And they all answered in agreement who this man of God was. They said, he's up there. And I'm pretty sure just by thinking on this, they didn't check their watch. I'm sure they probably didn't have a Rolex back then. I could be wrong, I don't know. But they said, nope, about this time, he's going to be up there right now. They knew right where he was. And he was known. He was an honorable man. Where he was and about what time he was going to be there. And in verse number 14, as they went to the city they went up into the city, and when they were come in the city, behold, Samuel came out against them to go up to the high place. So this is Samuel's first glimpse of Saul. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow about this time I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines, for I have looked upon my people because their cry has come unto me. And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, behold, the man of whom I spake of thee, this same shall reign over my people. So no doubt Samuel has been waiting for Saul since God had told him in his ear. I mean, this is kind of the moment. I mean, Samuel went through it. They rejected his kids. They rejected him. And ultimately the Lord told him, you know what? No, they've just rejected me. They don't want me reigning over them. So now Samuel's, who's this new king going to be? And the Lord tells him, no, it's going to be him. So this is his first glimpse of it. This anticipation that he had since they've rejected God. Who's God going to choose? And what's he going to look like? I mean, these were the questions I bet Samuel had. In verse number 18, then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, tell me, I pray thee, where the seer's house is. And Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer. Go up before me into the high place, and for you shall eat with me today and tomorrow, and I will let thee go and will tell thee all that is in thine heart. And as for thine asses that were lost 3 days ago, set not thine mind upon them, for they are found. And on whom is all thy desire of Israel? Is it not on thee and all thy father's house? You know what? They find the guy they're looking for. And you know what? He tells them everything that he was looking for. You know what I mean? Have you ever had a moment like this? You'll stand in awe. It happened to me once. And I've told this story before when I was going up Prideville. I left part of that story out. This is when I was gone from this church. I had left this church and I was going to go to Prideville. I actually, before they tore down all these neighborhoods over here, over there, they had a big barn in there. And Pastor Brad Whitbrock was looking for an old locker for his kids, and he was looking for an old desk. So I go in this old barn and I find an old desk and I find an old locker. And I go, what in the world? So I got the man of God a present, and I drove it all the way up there to Prineville. And lo and behold, when I go all the way up there to drive it, the Lord is speaking in my ear about stacking stones. And I get all the way up there, and Brad goes, open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 4. And I'm like, what in the world? And he starts going off on all about stacking stones. And the Lord starts talking to me and telling me all that is in my heart. But don't worry about that stuff that's over back there. I'll never forget that. I'm just saying there's a time in there where that's got to be so real to you when the Lord is just dealing with you personally. You know, you're looking for something. Oh, here, I'm just going to do this. And all of a sudden when it became part of the plan. Like it was always supposed to happen. And you're all, you should have seen me in the back of the church that day. I was like, am I on a camera or something? Like, what in the world's going on? You're uncomfortable. You're uncomfortable. You're like, is the Lord just watching? He's up there. I don't think that's what he's doing, but maybe he was. I don't know. I could watch him squirm on this one. That's what he's probably, you know, he's squirming. And I was. Amen. Lord's got his finger on me. You listening? Yeah, Lord, I'm listening. It's God's plan all along. Better stack up some stones for your kids. That's what the Lord was saying. Verse number 21. And Saul answered and said, am not I a Benjamite of the smallest of tribes of Israel, and my family of the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then now speakest thou so to me? You know, here Saul's scared. I mean, I kind of know what he was going. Not, you know what I mean? You can get it. I mean, he's insecure. Brother preached a great message on this about Saul being insecure. I imagine he was. I don't want to be king. Saul wasn't the bad. He didn't start off the bad guy. He didn't start off the psychopath guy. He was God's chosen man. He was. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. We all know how it ends up though, but he was intimidated. Unsure. Doesn't know what to do. Little bit uncomfortable. Maybe a little bit out of place. Wasn't quite sure of himself. Does that make sense? Like, why is this all happening to me? Just a little insecure. And Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into the parlor and made them sit in the chiefest place among them that are bidden, which were about 30 persons. And Samuel said unto the cook, bring the portion which I gave thee, of which I said unto thee, set it by thee. And the cook took up the shoulder and that which is upon it and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, behold, that which is left, set it before thee and eat. For unto this time hath it been kept for thee since I said, I have invited the people. So Saul did eat with Samuel that day. Now imagine this was the first for the time they came with that sacrifice. You know, everyone is waiting for Samuel, and this is the chiefest seat is not filled. You know, and in walks the tallest guy you ever seen in Israel, and Samuel makes him sit down in the chiefest seat. And all of them are looking around, the people that were bidden. Who's this guy? Well, he's a somebody. He's a somebody if Samuel brought him in. Because we all know Samuel's the prophet. Samuel's the man of God. And Samuel made him sit there in that best place. But not just in anybody. Only those that were bidden to be there. Anybody that was going to know, why is this guy here? God's going to do something different now. God's going to fix himself a king. And they bring out the shoulder. Saul gets the shoulder. Now I'm all for a backstrap. But I'll tell you what, I can make a shoulder piece taste real good. And that shoulder piece that comes off the cow or come off whatever animal, that's some tasty meat. You get that shoulder and they say, man, this guy gets the shoulder. He gets to sit in the chiefest place like a king. Now he's going to get to eat like a king. And he gets that shoulder. And he gets to eat with the servant of the king. Amen. And when, verse number 25, and when they were come down from the high place into the city, Samuel communed with Saul upon the top of the house. And when he gets to talk with the man of God. You know, I'm thankful for those times. When you just get to spend some alone time with somebody who's been walking with God. And we need that. You need that. Your kids need that. I don't have it figured out. He doesn't have it figured out. You don't have it figured out. But somebody might just have the right answer for your kids. Or even you. I'm looking forward to the brother coming in for the Jewish people, for the Jews. He's got a lot I know nothing about. And I'll be sure to ask him some questions. And I hope he's got the answers, you know what I mean? There's so much into that. Like, man, can you explain those, just the Jewish traditions and all those, that, you know? There's so much into that that's just, huh? But somebody else that maybe from over here, another part of the world, is going to know something a little bit better than you are, or pastor, or me. I'm just saying I'm thankful for those times I get to spend with the man of God. Someone who knows God, not just about Him. There is a difference. You can learn a lot, and you should get all your learning. When you know God, and when you know about Him, that's something. But when you just know some things about God, just like Pastor was teaching on this morning, well, there's a difference. But Samuel knew the Lord. Verse number 26, and they arose early, and it came to pass that in the spring of the day, that just means at the rising of the sun. Yet Samuel called Saul to the top of the house, saying, up, that I may send thee away. And Saul arose, and they went out, both of them, he and Samuel, abroad. And as they were going down the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, bid thy servant to pass on before us. And he passed on. But stand now still a while, that I may show thee the word of God. You know what? Samuel tells Saul privately what God had chosen. He told him privately. He treated him like a king, and he ate like a king publicly. But he told him, you know what? You are going to be the king. In chapter number 10 and verse number 1, he told him privately. So you say, what can we get out of this passage? I just got five things, real quick. Five things. Five things we can learn from this passage. As I've said before, there's the only benefit of getting saved later in life is you got saved later in life. So when you're putting messages together and there are certain words, you should probably not create titles out of them. So in verse number 3 and 4, I would like to title this, don't give up on looking for lost creatures. In verse number 3, it says, and the asses of Kish's, Saul's father, were lost. You know what? There's a lot of lost stuff out there. Yeah. There's people out there that still need the gospel. And they're a lot easier to find than all the other towns that furthest Saul went to. He went to 4 different towns. And some of those people might be those kind of creatures. But they still need the gospel. And we shouldn't give up on looking for them and telling them. I'm just trying to have some discernment. I really wanted to make a creative title out of this message. The only benefit of getting saved later in life is getting saved later in life. Amen. But you, I'm not going to bring shame to this book. Amen. But you'll find them a lot easier than Saul did. You could go down to this corner store and probably walk right past 10 or 12 of them. You might not find one that's happy to hear about Jesus, but they still need it. It's still going to please the Father that you're going out there and telling them. It's still going to please the Father that you're out there looking. You might have some days you'll never forget doing it. And they in turn might not have some days that they'll ever forget. I'd have never thought I'd be right here had somebody not give me a gospel tract. Something that simple. That simple. Changed my life forever. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Point number one. Point number two, this is a real spiritual point, okay? You gotta have, it's a real spiritual point. When going places, take some cash with you.
Amen.
It's seriously. Amen. You think you should.
Yeah.
Saul did it. Amen. But when I travel places, take some cash with you. You never know who you might, God might want to be a blessing to you. You might drive out on the way out to Bend somewhere through some country road. You might break down. You got any cash? No, I got a card. See you later. You know what I mean? It's, you know. Look, we don't have to be spiritual all the time for folks. You know what I mean? This is just common sense wisdom. If you're going to go somewhere on a journey and you're going to be gone for 3-4 days like Saul was, take some cash with you. You know what I mean? It's a basic point. I mean, I've always taken a lot of cash with me to places. And I remember I heard Farley preach the point. And I was just like, yes, I do that. You know, so I felt kind of good about it. But he said Jack Wood would always go someplace because those guys in Texas, they always wheel and deal on everything. They're just wheeling and dealing. You know what I mean? You might show up at a, you know, end up buying a car or something, you know, or old motorcycle, you know, who knows what. You make some money on it down the road. But yeah, but if you go all the way out, you're all the way out in the middle of nowhere where they got no service and all you got, well, I got this Visa card. And you're like, what's a Visa? You got some Benjamins, you got some Jacksons, you got some Grants. And yeah, take some cash with you. There's nothing wrong with wheeling and dealing. You're going to need it. There's nothing wrong with it. But there's something wrong if you don't want to give. You know what? Be prepared. That's just that proverb, what was it today? The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. That's the last verse. You know, be prepared. Safety is of the Lord. It's not telling you don't be prepared. It's saying be prepared. That was my spiritual point. Point number 3. Get around people that want to be around God. Verse number 6. And he said to him, behold, now there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he saith come surely to pass. Now let us go thither peradventure. He can show us our way that we should go. You know what I like? Being around God's people and people that are seeking after the Lord. I like being around y'all. I like being around these kids. You could tell how some of these kids was real. Some of these kids might even be called to preach. Amen. If you didn't see it, I don't. Maybe you. Nah, I don't say it. I'm going to try to be nice. I'm try my best. But amen. Pray for these kids. I like being around people that are seeking after God. I like people whose heart God had touched. You get that? And not to jump ahead into Dan's territory here, but 10:26, it says, and Saul went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. You can tell when somebody's had the touch of God on their heart and on their lives. And if you listen, you can tell when the devil has. Subtle. That's that word. But I like it when the Lord's touched people's lives and they're excited about the Lord. They want to talk about the Lord. They want to brag upon the Lord. But it was Saul's servant's idea. Saul's servant's idea to seek God. Point number 4. Set not your mind on the asses. Don't worry about stuff. Verse number 20. And as for thine asses that were lost 3 days, set not thine mind upon them. You know what? Don't worry about stuff. Turn over there to Philippians chapter 4. Went through this with the teens this morning. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 5 says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. You know what? Don't worry about it. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, you get to worrying about stuff. 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 Did I say it enough times? And then you get to worrying about stuff. In verse number 8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those are good things to think about. You won't be worrying about it. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard me, seen me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. And obviously that goes right there with Romans 12, 1 and 2. Pastor can quote that one. But you know what? Set your heart and mind on His Word. Don't worry about it. John 17, 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. That word is truth. I like here at the end of verse number 27 says, but stand now still a while that I may show thee the word of God. You know, sometimes you just need to be still and read this book and know that He is God and get it. And you know what will happen? You'll get that peace. You'll get that joy. You'll get that confidence. And you know, those sudden worries that you had, which I've heard testimony by the teens downstairs. So I was all worried about this, and I did just like you said. I read the Bible, and I didn't care about it anymore. Told you. You know? But it's nothing we ain't heard preached since we got saved. It's true. If you think on those things, you let God handle the problems, and He'll do it. But you got to sanctify the Lord in your heart. You got to trust in the Lord with all your heart. You got to let Him handle it. 1 Peter 3:15 says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You got to have Him set apart. You got to have focus on Him. Or else when you're down there and you're witnessing to the creatures and you're all, why are you so stressed out about? Why are you so joyful? Well, let me tell you. Jesus changed my life. You got to have Him set apart. But how can you do that if you're worrying about everything? You're not gonna. Last and final point. Stay small. Stay small. First Samuel. Look, this is important. Get a drink. This is a key reason why I believe God chose Saul. Saul was taller than anybody in Israel. Taller than anybody in Israel. But he didn't stay small. But the first thing Saul says after he said, you know what? God's upon you and all your house, and don't set your mind on the asses, for God's looking at you and He's over your house right now. And Saul answered in verse 21, and Saul answered, am not I a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? And my family the least of all the families of the tribes of Benjamin? Wherefore thou speakest thou so to me? And yes, it could be an insecurity, but I also believe it's a truth. I believe this is what he thought of himself. And why I believe that is in chapter number 15, if you turn there. Chapter number 15. This is where Saul's disobedience comes in. You guys know we've went through this before. He's supposed to utterly destroy all these people, and he doesn't. And he saves the livestock, and he doesn't kill Agag. And verse number 21 says, but the people took of the spoil and the sheep and the oxen, the chiefs among that which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice the Lord their God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than to the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. I mean, those are strong things. But you know what the first thing he tells Saul was through Samuel? Is in verse number 16. And Samuel said unto Saul, stay, why I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? I'm just saying, stay small. He must increase. I must decrease. Better just stay small. Better make him big. God's a big God. He's a big God. If the earth is his footstool, a footstool. That's why I probably meditated on that verse. Who hath stretched the line? There's a bunch of masonry questions there that God asked Job, chapter 38. I'm so glad I wasn't Job, because I'd have been stupid enough to try to answer them. You know what I mean? I really would have. Oh, yeah, maybe the brass guy in Ezekiel. Is that who? And the Lord asked. Anyhow. But I've asked other preachers, if the earth is his footstool, do you really need to stretch a line on a footstool to square everything up? I don't know. Do you need a line when you're forming something and it spins in the middle of nowhere and all the water stays to it? Do you really need a line to do that? I don't know. I don't think you do, though. I'd love to have that. We can commune together and reason about it. I think the Lord was just being sarcastic. But I don't know. I'm going to ask Brother Bob later. Yeah, there's the smart people in here. I have no idea, you know. But if the earth is his footstool, he's a big God. He's a lot bigger than you think. He's a lot bigger than we give him credit for. And he can solve our little teeny problems. Stay small. You know what? God uses little things. Keep God big in your life. John 12:32 says, Christ said, if I be lifted up from the earth, he will draw all men unto me. You know what? Lift him up. Don't lift yourself up. He must increase. I must decrease. So in closing, we'll just recap. Don't give up on the lost. Keep some cash with you. Give. Get around God and God's people. You know what? Don't worry about stuff. Stay in the Word and stay in His way. Keep your minds and hearts on God and stay small. God is big. Amen. Brother Mike, you close us in prayer.